Welcome to Sports Spectrum, the sports and faith podcast that brings Jesus back into the conversation. Here's your host, Jason Romano.
Hey guys, welcome to Sports Spectrum. I am Jason Romano. We got a great show today with Dansby Swanson, the Atlanta Braves shortstop. Had a career year in the shortened 2020 season, hitting 10 home runs in 60 games. He actually helped the Braves to the 2020 NLCS before they lost in seven games. He had a home run in game seven of the NLCS in that 4-3 loss to the Dodgers. And if you know Dansby, he was the first overall pick in the 2015 MLB draft by the Arizona Diamondbacks, traded to Atlanta, and then made his major league debut August 17th, 2016. In college, he was the 2014 College World Series Most Outstanding Player during his time at Vanderbilt, and now he has settled in as one of the top players with the Atlanta Braves, a really strong contributing force at shortstop, both on the defensive side and now on the offensive side with the Atlanta Braves. So Dansby Swanson's our guest. He's got some great stories, and we talk about some serious issues going on right now, especially in regards to mental health and some fear and anxiety that Dansby was going through. And he opens up in a way that it was really just encouraging to me to hear him tell his story. Let's just put it that way. So can't wait for you to hear it. Before we get to Dansby, I want to say thank you to our partners and sponsors, our brand new partner here at Sports Spectrum, Convoy of Hope, a faith-based nonprofit organization with a driving passion to feed the world through children's feeding initiatives, community outreaches, and disaster response. Right now, you can join their starting lineup with your favorite players and teams in partnering with Convoy of Hope to fight hunger, poverty, and suffering in the United States and throughout the world. You can learn more and be a part of the great work Convoy of Hope is doing by visiting them at convoynation.com, convoynation.com. We're also presented today by our friends at Ronald Blue Trust. And listen, if you want just some advice, if you have questions regarding your finances, wealth management strategies, trust services based on biblical principles, that's what Ronald Blue Trust is all about. And their financial services are offered to over 9,500 clients across the wealth spectrum in 50 states. Check them out at ronblue.com to learn more with Ronald Blue Trust, ronblue.com. All right, let's get to our conversation with Dansby Swanson, the Atlanta Braves shortstop. This was a powerful conversation. I think you were going to enjoy it. Take a listen right now to my conversation with Dansby Swanson here on Sports Spectrum. Dansby, welcome back to the show, buddy. How are you?
Good. I'm appreciative that you had me back on. I feel like a lot has changed in the a couple of years probably since we did our last one? So
yeah, it was December.
Grown a lot. Yeah.
18. Yeah.
Yeah. Grown a lot since then. So I'm glad to be back on and give a little bit of, you know, different perspective. And I feel like I've just experienced a lot, you know, like as you get older, you just experience so much more.
Absolutely. I want to get into that and I want to talk to you about that in a second. Let me start though with, as we record this, the untimely passing. I mean, the legend that is Hank Aaron passed away. Many people obviously know that story. And you had just went to his memorial the day before this recording here at the end of January. Tell me about Hank Aaron, the relationship you had. Obviously, if you play for the Braves and you're connected to Hank Aaron just by putting on that uniform, but what an impact that man had. Tell me about your relationship with Hank and what he meant to you.
I think the first word that comes to my mind is remarkable. And I say that because I think everyone knows the accolades with the baseball and how truly great of a hitter he was, not even just hitting home runs, but you know, my favorite thing is you take away all his home runs, he still has over 3,000 hits, which is just crazy, right? Like it's just crazy. Yeah. And all that he was able to accomplish on field. But he was remarkable off field. Like he dedicated so much of his time, his energy, and effort into basically being able to help people and he did it in such a humble attitude. It's like, it's crazy to think somebody that is arguably, and in my mind, the best baseball player to ever play, didn't ever talk about playing. He never talked about himself, never talked about what he did, never talked about what worked for him. He was just always so positive and kind, and how he spoke to you about, you know, and he would give you his honest opinion or input on things that he thought you could work on. But his work, like in the community to help advance people with where they were in their lives, is second to none. And I think that not many people realize the impact that he, you know, and the purpose that he felt, you know, helping drive communities forward and helping people, you know, past their current circumstances. But yeah, he would never talk about himself. You kind of had to do it for him. He would just kind of always look the other way if you started talking about his achievements, which is just so powerful. You know, it's so powerful, especially in this day and age where you feel like you got to claim everything that you've done on social media. And like, he just wasn't like that at all. You know, he just wanted to make a difference in people's lives and didn't care about other people knowing, because he knew that that's not why he was doing it. So Hank was a tremendous man. And, you know, as far as my personal relationship with him goes, he obviously, when you put on the uniform, it's very symbolic of representing the same thing that he represented. But I think something that always stood out to me was early in my career when I was really struggling and, you know, kind of just battling through trying to get accustomed to the big league life and being successful at the highest stage. He was always such a big supporter of mine. And believed in me and you know, kind of entrusted, my capabilities, like in me. He was very, very strong in that belief. And, that was really, really meaningful for me then. And even more so now, because, you know, nowadays it feels like if you don't have immediate success, you kind of get written off a little bit. And, that's not how he viewed things. So it really, really helped me, kind of see the bigger picture, because, you know, if he believed in me, and knew that I just needed some time to get to where I am now, then that's what it would take. And, you know, he was a big believer in that. And so definitely grateful, for him for that and all the other things that he's done.
Do you remember the first time you met him?
I actually think it was, I probably met him before this, probably in kind of like the, oh my gosh, that's Hank Aaron. Like that's right. The greatest baseball player of all time. But, actually having some conversation when I was rehabbing after surgery in 18, I feel like we had spent time there together, because he would come in and do some stuff in the stadium, just as far as rehab or just some different exercise stuff, you know, to get him moving and out of the house. He'd be in there, and he's just always so gentle, so kind, so loving. So it's pretty neat to be able to spend time around Hank.
Dansby Swanson is joining us here on Sports Spectrum. You mentioned the injury that you had to your wrist. So when we had you back on, or had you on the first time, I should say, you were still rehabbing that. That was like December-ish of that time when you had suffered that injury right before your team had a playoff run. And then this year, you guys had another playoff run, and you went pretty far. Game 7 of the NLCS, you're one game away from the World Series. You actually hit a home run in Game 7. So I want to ask you just about kind of, I don't want to call it full circle, because you were in the playoffs in 2019 as well. You've had a nice little stretch of postseason runs here, but in 2020, you got real close. And I just wonder, you know, you guys seemed to connect, and it was a shortened season, but you guys kind of had it going for a while. And there's something special, I think, in Atlanta that's happening with this group. What was that experience like, that postseason run for you guys?
Yeah. I mean, I think the thing for us is in 18 when we won, not that we shocked ourselves, but I think we in a way got somewhere that we were just excited to get to. Like getting back to the playoffs was the goal. That was it. Yeah. And then in 19, I think we were starting to prove to ourselves that we were actually a little bit of a force to be reckoned with, that we thought we had a really, really good team that could, you know, actually do some damage in the playoffs. And then this past year, it was kind of like we felt that not a World Series or bust. I hate that slogan.
Right.
But I thought that we had a team that if a couple things happen our way, right, we were going to win the World Series. So going forward, I think that's kind of where this team is at, is we have that belief and knowledge that we are capable of winning a World Series. And we keep getting better. I think that sometimes that gets overlooked, that we have such a good group, like such a good core young group. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm the oldest of this core group, and I'm about to be 27. Like, that's remarkable to think about. You know, other teams that have had these cores, I feel like didn't start till, you know, they were kind of all hitting their stride around 30, whereas a lot of our guys are still mid 20s and some early 20s. So I think that and the combination of the veteran presence with whether it be Freddie or some of the pitchers that we had just signed on with Will Smith, and, you know, like last year it was Mark Melancon and Darren O'Day and all these guys, that it just gave such a unique balance that kind of was able to allow for the young guys to energize the older guys and keep it fun, but for the older guys to help keep it within a certain boundary and keep everyone moving in the same direction. So we really do have the perfect storm of talent and personality. So it's just fun thinking about moving forward and continue to grow and get better. I think that's one of the most fulfilling things in the world, is when you set out to do something together, you know, and each year you're continuing to grow and accomplish and get better. So this year I think it's going to be just as fun. I think we got just as much opportunity in front of us to be, you know, as good as we want to be, as much as we want. I think we can definitely go make happen.
You know, when you're a kid, you know, what's the moment that you dream of? It's game seven of the World Series. But what's the second moment? Well, it'll be game seven of a National League Championship Series. And I know you guys didn't, you know, completely achieve that goal by winning that game, but you lost 4-3, but you still hit a home run. And I'm just curious, just from a fan perspective, a kid who grew up, and I loved Daryl Strawberry as a kid. That was my guy. I'm a little older than you, obviously. And that was my guy as a kid growing up in the 80s. And I would have dreamed to be like playing in a game seven and hitting a home run in that moment. What's it like to be in a game seven? I know it was different because the fans weren't there, but it's still a game seven for all the marbles, and you get to hit a home run. What's that moment like?
I think something that's so easily forgotten, and it's easy to lose perspective on, is we compete for a living, like legitimately compete in an arena. If you want to get it as, you know, primitive as possible, we compete in an arena, one team against another team, to see who's going to win the trophy, you know, at the end of the day. Right. And that's the reason people have gotten to where they've gotten to in our sport, or any sport for that matter, is competition. We love to compete. And a game seven is kind of like the epitome, like the pedestal of it all when it comes to competing. And I think that just being able to be in that moment is something that's very, very unique and special, because if you boil it down to its simplest form, it's the highest stage of competition, you know, in the highest moment, you know, to go to a World Series. And I think, yes, we lost. I hate losing. I'm not I wouldn't say I'm a sore loser, but I definitely hate losing. Yeah. And I think that that was kind of like our last hurdle and obstacle that we had to get through as a team and a franchise, is that we have to learn how to win in these moments. I feel like the Dodgers had their couple years where they had to go through it, until they kind of finally broke through. And I think that's kind of where we're at. It's a little bit of a learning curve. So there's winning, and then there's winning championships, and it's two very different things. And I think that we all kind of had to experience that, reflect on it, and say, okay, this is how we're going to be better, you know, next time around. And I think that's definitely something that we will do. I try and keep it into perspective with people. Like, this is, we compete. Like, that's what we do for a living. And whenever you're in that kind of moment, it's like that's what it is. It's competition, you know, regular day jobs are competition as well, you know, sales jobs, whatever it may be, not discounting that stuff, but we legitimately compete against other people for a living to see who's going home happy and who's going home, you know, crying. And just so happened this year, we were on the short end of that stick. So, I think that's something we can't forget about professional athletes, is the desire to compete, like the tenacity to compete. That's just what we do.
Yeah. I wonder too, because you said you hate losing, and I'm not a player. Obviously, I'm a fan. And I'm a guy in the media world, and yet I have my teams, and I hate losing. I don't like it when my teams lose. Obviously, I have to imagine as a player when you say you hate losing, are you able to, in a long baseball season, you have to be able to have a short memory and put it aside and go to the next game. But in a game seven where it's so final and the season's over, how long does it take you to get over something like that? Did it take you a while? Or were you able to kind of turn the page pretty quickly and say, all right, we learned a lot here. Let's get ready for next year.
I think it's a combo, honestly, because there are days and parts of me that still aren't over it, to be honest. And I've never been once like, oh yeah, chip on my shoulder, game seven, this and that. But in a way, something that is so, I don't want to use this term lightly, but traumatic in a way, right? Like something that you experience that leaves such a profound imprint on you doesn't just go away, and it shouldn't just go away. I don't think that it's one of those things you can just brush off. Now, does it keep me up at night? Like, no, it doesn't. But there are times where I'm like pretty disgusted about it still. Sure. And that's fine. That's my own, like, this is my own scarring, right? Like this is my own scarring, and it'll wear with me for a while, even if we were to win a World Series this year, because being driven the way I am, it's kind of like maybe we missed out on another one, right?
Sure.
Like I said, it's my own scarring, and yeah, I'm going to work and do things to get better so that we can get past that point, but that moment isn't just going to go away, anytime soon. So
a quick break to tell you about our new partners and sponsors today. Convoy of Hope, a faith-based nonprofit organization with a driving passion to feed the world through children's feeding initiatives, community outreaches, and disaster responses. And right now in the U.S. and throughout the world, countless families are living on the fringe or have fallen into the depths of poverty and suffering. But you can make a difference. And right now, we need you to join the starting lineup with Convoy of Hope and join your favorite players and teams in partnering with Convoy of Hope to fight hunger, poverty, and suffering in the United States and throughout the world. And in doing so, you can advocate, give, network, and volunteer to help ensure that those in need receive hot meals, groceries, haircuts, health and dental screenings, hygiene kits, shoes, clothing, family portraits, and much more. You can learn more right now and be a part of the great work Convoy of Hope is doing by visiting them at their website, convoynation.com. You can donate, you can pray, and be a part of all that Convoy of Hope is doing by, again, checking out that website, convoynation.com, convoynation.com. We're also presented today by our friends at Ronald Blue Trust. Their advisor is applying biblical wisdom and technical expertise to help clients make wise financial decisions to experience clarity and confidence and leave a lasting legacy. We all have questions about our finances. Where do we go? What do we invest in? How much do we spend? How much do we save? Ronald Blue Trust has all of those answers. They offer comprehensive financial services and objective advice to over 9,500 clients across the wealth spectrum in all 50 states. You can reach them at ronblue.com. That's their website, ronblue.com. Tell them Sports Spectrum sent you. Ronald Blue Trust. You can trust them. We trust them. Check them out. Biblical Principles, Wealth Management Strategies, ronblue.com. Dansby Swanson from the Atlanta Braves joins us here on Sports Spectrum. You said you learned a lot of lessons on the field going through what you went through. How about off the field, spiritually, in your relationship with the Lord and just kind of seeing what 2020 brought? You know, when you think back, what's a great lesson that the Lord has kind of taught you and shown you over these last however many months, 12 months, whatever it's been? What was he teaching you, you think, going through what we all went through this past year?
Man, obviously, this year was wild for everybody. I really felt this past off season, going into this 2020 season, I really felt like I felt this calling that it was like something was going to be different for me in my spiritual life. I was actually in Nashville at Cross Point, and I was in there, and the pastor at Cross Point, Kevin Queen, one of the associate pastors, Annie Downs, who's a good friend of mine. I don't know if you've had her on, but
I did. We just had Annie on. She was great. She raves about you. Let's put it that way. She loves you.
That's a good thing. And I'm going to text her after this to say that I love her too.
But absolutely.
You know, they were kind of just like, it was after a service and they were just kind of praying over me. And I just kind of felt this like calling and peace that, this was going to be a great year for me spiritually. And she kind of even said the same thing, that she's like, I don't know what it is, but I just feel that there's like this calling for you to really grow in your spiritual life this year. And, the combo of that, I know you had, Armando on, started to Dr. work Mondo. With him. Yeah. Dr. Mondo. Everyone calls him Dr. Mondo. I just call him Armando. That's my guy. And we have like a brotherly relationship. It's pretty funny.
Cool.
And so we'd started working in November, December of 2019. And we were working, and I didn't really, I knew that what I was doing with him was the right thing to do, but I don't think it really started to change my life until there was one night me and Mal were on a walk with our dog, or my dog Bentley, but we're all part of the family. Right. And
that's right.
I just remember her being like, are you okay? And I'm like, no, like I was so anxious that I couldn't even like, it was like hard for me to breathe almost. Like I wouldn't say I was having an anxiety attack, but I was in that moment. Like I was very paralyzed with fear or whatever you want to call it. Like I was having a hard time breathing. Like I was having a hard time speaking, moving. Like it was all like, I'd like think about it to do it, you know, like it was very robotic. And I remember sitting down and talking to Armando over Zoom. Like, you know, this was like maybe month two in quarantine, and we Zoom, and we started to basically put together this like routine. I'm a very routine oriented person. We started to put together a routine of how I could battle some of the anxiousness and what I could do to basically be on a routine. Cause anxiousness starts to creep in when I'm on a when I'm not on a routine, while I'm just kind of free flowing.
Sure.
And so we started to talk about things that were going to help me grow spiritually and mentally during that time. And it really started to lead me down to like this, the calling, you know, like this spiritual component. And we started reading scripture in the mornings, like legitimately like reading scripture, trying to understand it. We were doing a Bible study with Terry Evans, our team chaplain. Me and Mal were doing that together. I was doing some meditation on top of the scripture reading in the morning. And so we just kind of like set out this routine for me to follow. And I really started to feel like I was like connecting more with myself, which in turn was like connecting me more with God. You know, because he's all made us in a certain way and made us to be who we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And I felt like after I was starting to do that consistently, I really was embracing who he had made me to be. And I felt like there was just like this, like trust and bond that started to grow of like, you know what? I do love me for me, and I'm going to embrace everything that you've put on my plate because you've blessed me with these things. Like you wouldn't give these things to me if I couldn't either handle them or like really, really succeed at them. And someone actually, it was Brooks Webb, who's the baseball operations guy at Vandy.
I know Brooks.
Actually said he was like, your best career year will follow your best spiritual year. And that really stuck with me because this year was my best year. And I don't think it's any coincidence. It's because of how much my spiritual life had grown, you know? And so I if anything, the lesson that I've learned, sorry, that was really long winded, but.
No,
if anything, the lesson that I've learned was that you can't go wrong trusting growing closer to God, basically. Like, and whatever way that works for you, is what works for you. But it really took me just like spend time with God, legitimately spend time in the words that he wrote through people that were on this earth, spend time in prayer, in meditation and silence, you know, like do these things to grow nearer to him. And I really have started to feel, you know, his presence more and feel like I've just grown more comfortable with the callings and stuff that he's put on, you know, my heart and stuff. So, it's really exciting. It doesn't make life less challenging, I'll tell you that, but it makes it a lot more fulfilling.
It was funny talking to, thank you for sharing that, by the way. It was interesting talking to Dr. Armando, about this sort of stigma that exists with athletes and I don't want to call it mental illness, because that's not, I would call it that, but just mental health and the importance of really searching in the mental health side of things to get your kind of, get you right and get you in the right frame of mind and the spiritual component that plays such an important part in that. Can you kind of expand a little bit in that? I think the idea of how that helps you, because you play a sport, man, where every single day you're judged, every single day you're critiqued, every single day there's an expected performance that you're supposed to have. And when you don't have that performance, man, it's got a crush in your identity. Obviously, you're a follower of Christ, so you're not judged by your performance. You're judged by who God is, right? And there's such a dynamic and a battle, I think, that we all face, an internal battle. Can you kind of expand a little bit on that, just working with Dr. Mondo and really how important that's been for you?
Yeah, I think, well, to start, our shame and our, we've created this, like, connotation around mental health, mental illness, whatever you want to refer to it as.
Sure.
And we've kind of created this stigma that says, if I am not my perfect, absolute best self today, like, I'm not worthy. Like, we've created this thought that it's like not okay, that it's not okay to not be okay. Right. And it's so damaging, because whether it's social media, like you name it, whether it's social media, whether it's media, whether it's whatever, all we see is somebody's highlight reel on social media. We see something in the media or the news world that says everything in the world's wrong. You know, we see in the sports world, we have these debate shows now that, yeah, we all like listening to, but so-and-so's opinion means more than so-and-so's opinion. And they may think this person's a great player. They may think this person's a terrible player. Like, we live in such this polarizing world, and I think if people feel that if they're going to compete, that they need to be spot on all the time, and they never actually admit to themselves that they're not okay. And after years and years of buildup, it's like this explosion. And what I've learned is the quicker that I can handle each of those moments to get back to center base, you know, and for me being centered around Jesus is what's actually made my life thrive that much more, and to be confident in all the things that I fall short of, you know. And, you know, before I met Armando, I mean, in my worst days of the anxiousness, I mean, I wouldn't eat, I wouldn't sleep. I was like, the only thing I was eating was like animal crackers in the middle of the night, because that was what was by my bed. Like, I was like so fearful of everything that I couldn't operate, you know. And so I've been down like gross paths, you know, like I've experienced like some very scary stuff when it comes to like, you know, like dark spirits. Like, I've experienced it all, man. And like, I feel like that stuff really thrives in darkness. And the more that we stigmatize it or put a stigma around it, we actually never bring it to light. And like, in the light is where it actually goes away. And so it sounds like counterintuitive, like, oh my gosh, this is in the dark, it should just stay there. Like, let me hide this skeleton in the closet. It's like, you know, the only way you're going to actually be able to handle it is going through it. So to go through it, you got to put it in the light. And that's how I've tried to start living, with stuff like that. And it's really, really opened my eyes, and it's opened my heart, to be able to help other people do the same. Like, that's why I am so open about it, about things that I struggled with, or things that, you know, oh, you're such a like strong professional athlete, you should never experience that. You have everything in the world. You have money, you have a beautiful girlfriend, you got a great house and a great family. It's like, that's not like, that doesn't make me just mentally always on point. You know what I mean? Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, and if I can sit here and talk about how I have my own struggles, I hope that it empowers other people to be able to do the same and to help them, you know, grow through whatever is holding them back. So,
well, I think it's great that you're sharing it, and I really do appreciate you talking about it here on the show. I was curious too, because even before we started recording, you said something to me. You said, I've learned so much, you know, about myself since the last time, you know, you were on the show, which would have been, like I said, I think it was winter of 2017 when you hurt your wrist, right? Going into 2018. So let's go back to that person. You would have been what, 23 at the time, 3 years ago, 3+ years ago. Mm-hmm. And you're talking to that Dansby Swanson. What are you saying to him? What are you talking to him? What's the lesson you want that Dansby to know in terms of where he's brought you to today?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'll start by saying, I think I'm so grateful that my life's unfolded the way it has, because who knows, if I discovered this stuff earlier, I might be in a completely different boat than I am now. Like, I don't know where I'd be. And I think that this plan of how my life is unfolded is how it's supposed to be. I've created such a beautiful circle of people around me, whether it's friends, whether it's Mal, whether it's Armando, whether it's, you know, just like my team of people, right? Yeah. Like they're in my life for a reason. But if I were to give anyone advice, really, it would be, I would start showing people the importance of, whether it's mental health, whether it's routine, whether it's legitimate things that can grow your mind, grow your spirit, grow your heart, I would start implementing that earlier. I would start implementing how to read scripture earlier. I would start implementing the power of sitting in silence, the meditation, the journaling, the whatever it is that helps you feel at closest to your true self. I would start empowering people to do that earlier. And that's kind of what I try and tell people now, is if you really want to grow and you really want to, you know, advance in your spiritual life, just sit alone for about 20 minutes and tell me how you feel, because we can't. When I first started meditating, I was like, 5 minutes, like, oh my gosh, 5 minutes has gone by and I'm going nuts. Like, I can't sit here any longer. Yeah. And I've been able to build that up, you know, to 10, 15, 20 minutes even. And just being able to like sit and feel like I'm experiencing the Holy Spirit, whether it's through some of the music that I listen to, like the bilateral music, I'm sure Armando's talked about before, or any other kind of music that really helps me connect back with my true self. It's so empowering, man. And I just want people to experience that same thing. And it sounds really simple, but I think in order to know yourself, you have to actually dive into yourself. And the only way to do that is to kind of cut out all distraction. So that would be my advice, is you can't, I think how I put it before is, you can't hold yourself accountable if you don't know what you're trying to hold yourself accountable for. So if you don't know who you really are, how are you going to hold yourself accountable to that? And I think that once you discover that, you can actually start to move forward, you know, in life.
You're wearing a black hoodie that says All Things Loyal on it with Atlanta, Georgia on it. Tell me about All Things Loyal and the brand and what it is.
So I'd say about 3 years ago, I had this idea. It started out, the idea was I wanted people to know the real Dansby. I felt like people had this like false sense of who he was. And so I wanted to create this brand that kind of told my story of how I grew up in Atlanta, Georgia, what was dear to my heart. And, you know, we did tributes of t-shirts for Outkast, for the Varsity, like name any, you know, rapper that's come from Atlanta, like all things Atlanta, hence ATL, All Things Loyal, is what we were trying to tell. It's this just beautiful story about how I grew up, why I am the way I am, how my faith life fits into it all. We were giving back 5% of, you know, sales to local Atlanta charities, people that were doing really good work in our community here in Atlanta, which has led me to a lot of great, you know, relationships and stuff. And it slowly developed away from just Atlanta specific to how can we teach people the power of positivity? How can we teach people the power of community, things that truly, truly make a difference in society, you know, kind of from the ground up. And so a lot of stuff has kind of started to shift more towards that. You know, we have a really, really pretty much a best-selling hoodie that just says good energy on it. And it's amazing how people actually, that resonates with them. We actually have a shirt that says be your best self, but it's written upside down. So when you look at it, it's right side up to you. And it's just amazing. Like people, something is that simple is empowering to people. And that's, you know, kind of our vision that we try and stick to is empowering people to see themselves in a better light. And to make changes within their life that's going to not only grow them, but grow their community that they're involved in. So if, you know, if we can impact one person a day or however many people, then that's something we want to do. So it's kind of one of those things like I'd rather be about it than talk about it. And so we just try and do as much good work as we can, help people, don't care who gets the credit, but help people as much as possible. So, I'm all for loving Jesus. I'm all for loving people, you know, and I fall short plenty of times, but you know, I think that the more I can grow in that realm, the better off, you know, we'll be.
What's the website? So if people want to learn more, is it just allthingsloyal.com? What's the website?
If you go to shop.allthingsloyal.com, we actually just redid, a little bit of the website. But it's just, it's so cool to see the evolution of where it started to where it's going. And how like truly, instead of just kind of like a fun side hustle gig, it's turned into more of like a legitimate business for my buddy. You know, trying to find ways to expand and get better and grow and, you know,
and become an outreach a legitimate, too, right? And an outreach.
Right, right. Correct. So, you know, be a legitimate, contributor to our society and how can we change the lives of people, whether it's around us or change the life of somebody in a different community that makes a difference in their own community. It's just a beautiful thing to be a part of.
I love that. Shop.allthingsloyal.com is the website. People can go check that out there. I want to close with this. This is more of a personal question. I think I'm just interested in, because I love talking to athletes, especially elite athletes, about how they train. And, you know, I wonder for you, because we're taping this like right before spring training starts, and you're probably headed to do that in a couple weeks or so, but you're not just not picking up a bat, picking up a glove. And, you know, we'll see you in February, and that's the first time you picked up a bat since, you know, your last game, game seven. What's the off-season training for Dansby Swanson look like? And maybe how it's evolved probably since you were younger, first coming in. And some of the things you learned in that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I'm glad you actually asked that because this year, I'll say this year has been a little bit more difficult for me because when you're younger coming out of college, it's all about you're still growing and how can I get stronger? How can I continue to get stronger, lift all this weight? Right. You know, I was lifting Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, trying to gain weight, this and that, you know, trying to withstand a long season. And I've every year I made an adjustment with something. And so this past year, going into the 2020 season, which was obviously different, but my big thing was, okay, let's do three lifts a week, you know, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Tuesdays and Thursdays. Let's do a combination of like Pilates / yoga work, you know, core flexibility and like PT, like prehab, basically, like how can I keep my body healthy? Because the best availability or the best ability is availability.
Absolutely.
You know, how can I keep myself healthy? And so that worked for me. And it's, and it sounds silly because it's like, well, what do I need to change this year? You know, and it's like, what are the little evolutions that need to take place to get better? And so this year's been a little bit different because it's kind of been pretty much the same type of stuff, but a little bit tougher because, you know, things may be closed down or it's a little bit tougher to access certain things.
Yeah.
And so the off season for me is I take probably 3 weeks off after the season's over, try and go on like a little vacation, something to get away, clear my mind. And I start getting back into it again, you know, beginning of November, second week of November. And then I don't pick up a bat till the new year. I don't pick up a ball till the new year.
All right.
I try and give myself time off from hitting. Just I only have so many bullets, right? Like I need to save them. So yeah,
absolutely.
So I start hitting a couple times a week. I've been hitting about twice a week right now. But me and Mal were actually talking about this. And for those of y'all that don't know, my girlfriend Mal Pugh is a professional soccer player. She plays on the women's national team and is very much puts her body through the limit too.
Yeah.
But I don't think people understand the what we go through, you know, our bodies. And, you know, I feel like my body's always sore. It's always banged up, this and that. And, you know, whether it's getting massages or all these different types of things that people think sound leisurely, like, man, you get to work out and get massages for a living, but there's a lot more intent and intensity to what we do than just that, you know, always finding the itty bit of ways to grow ourselves. And I feel like nutrition is always a big component of it as well. So but I've learned one thing, man, it's every decision impacts you. So every yes that you say to something, you're essentially saying no to something else. Right. You know, and it's like, all right, yeah, I'll go out to dinner and yes, I'll have these drinks. And then ultimately I'm kind of saying, no, I'm not going to be as productive or this tomorrow or whatever it may be. So you really start to learn how to prioritize what's important and what's non-negotiable, right? And for me, what's non-negotiable is, you know, my relationship with God and the work that I do spiritually each morning. Like, that's a non-negotiable. Spending time with Armando, you know, each week is pretty much a non-negotiable. Like, getting my massage, taking care of my body is a non-negotiable. And you really start to filter all this stuff out. And you're like, wow, really the only thing that matters is my family, my friends, Mal, the good Lord, you know, Jesus, yep. And, you know, my career. And that's all that matters to me, because at the end of the day too, and you mentioned this, like, Earth is just a rental for us. And I know we hate looking at it like that. It's hard for us to fathom, but we're just, you know, renting here, but our forever home is in heaven. So I'm going to do things that are going to gain those riches. I say riches in quotes, for, you know, a heavenly like life, because it's not about flesh. It's about, you know, following Jesus and what yeah. he has for our lives. And by no means am I perfect. I'm going to go ahead and throw that out there, because by no means am I perfect, but that's definitely something I strive for. Like, I strive to be more in tune with what God would want and less about what I would want. And, I'll just share this last like quick bit. So every year I feel like John Gordon talks about this, like, have your word for the year, right?
Yes. Like, your one word. That's right.
Your one word. So last year my word was conviction.
Okay.
Because, when I was convicted in myself, and what the Holy Spirit was kind of telling me, like, I kind of get on one, like, I am very much unapologetically myself and very confident in who I am. Because when I believe in something, I'm very convicted in it, you know? And this year I feel like my word is intentionality, which I don't even know if that's really a word, but
or intentional.
Yeah. Because yeah. I feel like the more I can be intentional with how I speak to people, how I treat people, how I train, whatever it is I'm doing, if I'm doing it with, you know, intention, I feel like that's going to lead me to the life that I want to be living. So I would say that's my word, you know, for this year. And I'm very, very excited to kind of see where it takes me, because I was actually talking to Armando a couple weeks ago. He was out here in Atlanta visiting, and I just said, you know, my whole life, I wanted people when after they talked to me, after they knew me, whatever it was, I wanted them to say, man, Dansby's a good dude. You know what I mean? Like, Dansby is a good person. That's what I always wanted people to think about me. And it just hit me this year. I said, I don't want people to think that about me anymore. I want people to say, there's something different about Dansby. Like, I feel God's presence when I like am with Dansby, or I feel like my own, like, people that are going through stuff, whether mm-hmm. it's, you know, they have personal pain, whatever is going on. I want people to feel light and feel hope after they speak with me. Like, I want people to be able to almost be healed from what it is that's going on through them.
Sure.
That's kind of like how I started to look at it. Like, I don't want people to say Dansby's a good person. I want people to say God's working through Dansby. That, and that's the difference in like the flesh versus, you know, heaven, right? And I think that that has where I've started to try and shift in my life is it's not about being a good person. It's about doing God's work and, you know, God's will be done. Mm-hmm. And that's like kind of the transition in my spiritual life that I'm making from this Dansby of just being a good dude to like this Dansby, the Jesus follower. So that's my journey right now. And I'm looking forward to revisiting this, maybe in a year or something when I come back on. So
me too. I want to hear your word for next year. We'll get you back on, but thanks for being, so intentional, we'll use that word again, about saying yes to come on this show and certainly to share all that you shared. Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate it. All the best to you in 2021. We'll be watching and rooting you on, and all the best. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you. This is my favorite. I love talking about this kind of stuff. So grateful that you'd have me on and definitely looking forward to this year and everything that has in store. And yeah, God bless.
Really appreciate Dansby Swanson joining us here today on the show. Really good stuff. And just about as transparent and as vulnerable and authentic of an interview as we've had here on the show in a long time. And just appreciate him sharing about his battle with fear and anxiety and some of the different things that, you know, he was going through and how God really helped him through it, both through, you know, the spiritual connection that he's had with the Lord and some people that have been placed in his life. So just appreciate him. And I loved his word for 2021 is one word, intentionality or intentional. And that is so important, especially in your walk with the Lord, to be intentional about that walk and to be intentional about making time with God. Get up earlier if you have to, but to make that time with the Lord. That is so important. And Dansby Swanson will be intentional, I'm sure, in 2021 as he prepares for another baseball season and high expectations for the Atlanta Braves in 2021 as they reached one game away from a World Series berth back in 2020. And Dansby Swanson, a big reason for the Atlanta Braves' success, and I'm sure he'll be a big part of that team in 2021 as well. Dansby's a great guy and someone you can root for in 2021 in this upcoming Major League Baseball season. We really appreciate Dansby for joining us here today on the show. We also want to thank our partners and sponsors, Convoy of Hope, our newest partner here at Sports Spectrum, a faith-based humanitarian relief organization with the goal to bring help and hope to those who are impoverished, hungry, and hurting. You can check them out over at ConvoyNation.com. That's the website, ConvoyNation.com. Then we have our friends at Ronald Blue Trust. And we love Ronald Blue Trust and all that they stand for, applying biblical wisdom and technical expertise to help their clients make wise financial decisions to experience clarity and confidence and leave a lasting legacy. Check them out at RonBlue.com to learn more. RonBlue.com, Ronald Blue Trust. We appreciate them. We also want to direct you to our website, sportsspectrum.com, for all of our content here at the Ministry of Sports Spectrum. We have devotionals, podcasts, articles, all available right there at the website, sportsspectrum.com. And lastly, whatever app you're listening to this podcast on, do us a favor, click that subscribe button so that you never miss an episode. And if you're listening on the Apple Podcast app, if you could rate and review this podcast, it would be amazing. It takes 5 to 10 seconds, and it just helps get the word out on the ministry that is Sports Spectrum and all that we're trying to do to bring Jesus back into the conversation. Thanks for joining us here at Sports Spectrum. My name is Jason Romano. We hope you all have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time right here on the show.